Reporting on the games you love by people who love to game. The MMO Reporter Network.
You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This show is brought to you by Doghouse Systems, who make some of the most powerful gaming PCs on the planet. And I can say from personal experience that they have awesome customer service. Use the code MMOReporter at doghousesystems.com and get a free 120GB SSD. And by Audible, the best audiobook service in existence. Seriously, if you like stories at all, you've got to check Audible out. Go to audibletrial.com/MMOReporter and get a free 1 month trial and a free audiobook. Those ads help cover our server costs for the show, but if you'd like to directly support this show and the nice people who make it, you can go to gamediplomat.com/donate and show us some love. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to episode 68 of the Happy Hearthstone Podcast, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Josh Augustine, and this week I'm joined once again by Chris Manning. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Josh.
You're back again.
I'm back.
I didn't scare you away, although I did, you were telling me before, I actually did make your eardrums bleed, literally. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, well, not you, I don't think, but geez, I ruptured my eardrum and didn't even know I had done it because I was on NyQuil and Tylenol PM for days and just hadn't even noticed.
I love that kind of vision of you, because it's like you may not even be aware that you were on the show previously. You were just totally out of it. Well, welcome back, Chris. I'm glad you're here. As if you didn't listen to last week's episode, you need to go back and listen to it right now. Because Chris and I talked about Dreadsteed, Chris's favorite card, and we did a whole episode just talking about that card, different synergies you can do with it, lore with it, all about that card. And Chris, you're here today with your Dreadsteed deck, right?
Yes, it's a good one. I've won a lot of games with it.
Let's see if you can win at least two more today in our best of three. Now, excited, this is a deck battle episode, but before we get into that, actually, let's talk about why we're happy. Chris, why are you happy?
Well, the spring weather is here. It's been beautiful, and which means it's time to go hiking again. I live right by the mountains, and we have some great hiking trails, so I'm excited to get back out and start the 2016 hiking season.
Ah, very cool. That's awesome. I'm also totally jealous because we actually had severe thunderstorms all day today. They actually, up in LA, they actually opened the storm like safe houses or something that I didn't even know existed.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's apparently serious business. So I'm jealous of your amazing spring weather.
Well, you guys have it almost all year round, so
that's
don't
true.
Feel too jealous.
So I am super happy. I'm going to talk about the other card game for a second. Oh no, the dirty three-letter word. Hex, which is another online TCG, actually did an invitational tournament this weekend. It's really cool, at the Esports Arena in Santa Ana. So this was, I'd heard about the Esports Arena. It's touted as the world's first, or at least America's first, arena dedicated only to esports events. So,
wow.
Yeah, they host a fireside event every Monday night. Like, I'd heard of all these kind of Hearthstone things happening there, but I never actually made it up there, so I finally made it up there. It was a really fun event. It was kind of weird. It was much smaller than I thought. It's kind of built into, like, the old town of Santa Ana. But it was really cool inside. It has this like industrial urban kind of very hip San Francisco vibe to it, which was fun. But this was cool because do you remember, actually, Chris, did you watch the Red Bull Tavern Brawl that they did a while back?
Yeah, so, that was a really cool tournament.
That was really cool. So this had kind of a mix of that. This Hex Invitational I went to, they had 12 people that were invited to play. And it's interesting, the first elimination round was constructed, but then they went into a draft, similar to like the Tavern Brawl sort of style that they did in that. And then it narrowed it down to top four from there, and then they went back into constructed. So it's this interesting mix of getting, like, people had to be good at both sides of the game to succeed. It was really interesting.
Did they use the Tempo Storm tool to draft?
So this was a Hex tournament, which is a different game.
Oh,
so they actually
right.
They basically have essentially the Magic-style draft. So they just did that in-game.
Very
built
cool.
in. Yeah, so it was really fun, but it was just really nice seeing more people get excited about TCGs, right? And going out to events like that and just seeing a big place like Esports Arena hosting a tournament like that. I'm really excited. I don't know if I'll go up for a Fireside event. I'm hoping maybe they'll host like pros playing Hearthstone up there, because I'd be a little more interested to drive, because it's like a 2-hour drive for me. So I'd want to drive at least like see some pros play really good games. But I'm excited to go back there.
I think Brian Kibler, he hosted an event a few months ago when it was just opening.
Oh,
so
okay.
They do stuff like that there.
Cool.
So
yeah. So I just need to, check out their schedule.
Yeah.
So if you're in the kind of Southern California area, I'll put a link in the show notes to this site's page, or to this, what do you call it? Just arena places, webpage. So you can check it out, and hopefully we can meet up there. That'd be fun. So, all right. We got a little bit of news. So, this podcast, by the time this podcast comes out, you may have heard this news already, or you'll be hearing it really soon, but they're making a big announcement Friday at 10 a.m. That's March 11th. It sounds like it's going to be a new expansion. All signs are pointing to it. What have you heard, Chris? Have you heard much about it?
I've heard Old Gods, and I'm not too familiar with what those are. I had a friend, my friend who introduced me to Hearthstone, kind of tried to tell me a little bit about it from World of Warcraft, but, you know, it's... Sounds cool.
All right. Allow me to sell you on it more. I'll add on top of your friend. So the letter sent to the press community kind of all hinted, and kind of the changes, it's supposedly, or it hinted Whispers Around the Tavern. But everyone is saying that the expansion is going to be called Whispers of the Void. Apparently there was like, maybe they trademarked it or a file or something, but Whispers of the Void is apparently the name that people are expecting. They updated the card carousel on the Hearthstone page to all be about cards that are about dark magic. Like they have Mind Blast on there, Dark Whispers, Void Terror, Cult Master, Faceless Manipulator. So let me give you the 10-second WoW lore background, just to give you a little frame of mind, because I'm actually really excited for this. Because the Old Gods in WoW are very much based on like Cthulhu and kind of that lore of like the tentacle monsters and madness, mind control, that sort of thing. So it's cool because the old gods like existed before the Titans, the dragons, all the basically the current gods in the game. But they always pop up here and there in these dark corners of the world. But they've never like played a super prominent role. They're always just like lurking in the background manipulating things. But also in WoW, in the new expansion, they're changing one of the player specs. The Shadow Priests are actually becoming worshippers of the old gods. So they're getting a bunch of abilities that are like summoning dark tentacles and like torturing minds and all this stuff. So it's really interesting to see kind of this change in WoW happen at the same time they're launching this Hearthstone expansion. I'm hoping that they do more kind of tie-ins where themes are being pushed in both games at the same time. I think that's really cool.
That is really cool. It's kind of interesting, I think, because Old Gods sounds so serious. And the last couple, the expansion and the last adventure have both been just very fun and kind of lighthearted.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's kind of interesting to see this return to almost the Black Rock Mountain type of expansion.
Yeah, that's true, actually, because Whispers of the Void is a very serious name.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think the trailer's going to be? It's got to be something. So, all right, let me put my knee-jerk prediction out there. It's got to be something like a mind-controlled gnome or something like whispering the most horrifying stuff like through the, because like then it's kind of funny, like, because I think you're right, I hadn't even thought about that, but it does need to be kind of goofy. All of Hearthstone stuff has been goofy.
Well, yeah, if you think back to the very first cinematic, it starts out very Warcraft, very serious, but then it's like, or you could just have fun.
Yeah.
Forget all that and have fun. And so, you know, I think that they're going to strike the same Hearthstone balance and feel that they always have.
Yeah,
but maybe have some of these darker creatures, but somehow bring the funny Hearthstone goofy element to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And actually, I think expansions are the ones that always are announced with a trailer that's a song.
Yeah.
So it could be like a death dirge, like a real slow, somber song or something. But it's got to be funny somehow. You're right. Maybe like a gnome death metal band. That'd be cool. All right. So that, again, that's being announced 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time this Friday, March 11th. So if you haven't heard about it already, go look that stuff up, because it's going to be super exciting. All right, let's get into the deck battle. All right, let me update you guys on deck battles, because we've got a change in the rules. What? We're like 4 years in, and we're changing it up. So we've been talking about this a lot lately, about what to do with deck battles now that they're splitting Standard and Wild. And I've had some complaints from people that are also kind of tired of seeing a deck like Demon Warlock, the current reigning champion that's been on the show for 9 months. Like, they want to kind of mix it up. So we're changing it up. I'm really excited about this new direction. But just in case this is your first time ever listening to a deck battle show, here's how it works. The guest host brings their favorite deck onto the show and breaks it down for you. They tell you what cards are in it, how it works, why they like playing it. And then they battle against me live on the show in a best of three. But the big twist is I'm always using the current reigning champion deck of Happy Hearthstone, which is the last deck that a guest host brought onto the show and won with. So right now, like we kind of mentioned, the reigning champion is Andrew's Warlock Demon Zoo deck, which has reigned since June of last year, which is just outrageous. You can check out episode 49 when that deck was first introduced if you want to see why it's so good and why it has lasted this long on GameDiplomat.com. But here's the change we're going to do. We're adding a Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame. What? And if I had better production values, I would put some cool music. Can you do like a trumpet noise or something, Chris?
Yeah, just give me 1 second. All sorry. Right.
I believe in you.
Sorry, I just tried launching Hearthstone on my computer and it said Battle.net could not be found. So something's wrong. I had to grab my iPad.
Dude, I think the old gods are messing with you already.
They are.
They're trying to sabotage you. What are those ARGs? Alternate? What are those things where like game companies create stuff in the real world, like puzzles you have to solve as like a teaser? That's what it is. They're going to start causing all. Yeah, they're going to start putting bugs in Hearthstone. Oh no, the old gods are interrupting. Oh, you were about to hit legendary. Old gods brought down the server. It's messed up.
It would happen to
yeah.
me. Oh. Okay, here's your trumpets.
All right. Beautiful. The Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame. Welcome. So this was a great idea suggested by a listener or host or somebody. I actually went through like my past 4 months of tweets to try and find it because I thought for sure it was a tweet. I couldn't find it. The closest I could find was Dan Holton, at least had an idea like it that he sent in. So I'm giving Dan the credit for this. We're going to add a Hall of Fame to the Happy Hearthstone deck battles. And this is a way that we can immortalize the very best decks that make it through the gauntlet on this show. It's also kind of a way to make sure the reigning decks aren't here forever, right? Like some decks have in the past. Not naming names. Andrew. So here's how it works, though. Once you're on the throne, you have to beat 3 challenger decks to be entered into the Hall of Fame. So that's 4 total wins, because you have to win your first game to get on the throne and then fight off 3 competitors to keep it. And if you do that, you'll enter the Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame forever. And when that happens, the deck is also immediately retired. It's kind of like, you know, they hang up like Kobe Bryant's jersey in the Lakers stadium. This is what we're doing too. We're hanging up the number for that deck. And then the next deck that comes onto the show will battle against a randomly chosen Hall of Fame deck. So since the throne is empty, they have to battle a random Hall of Fame deck, which is kind of fun because we get to bring back these old classics that we remember. And then regardless of the outcome, the new deck will sit on the throne. But if they win that first match, it'll count towards the 3 wins they need. And if not, they'll still have to beat off 3 more challenger decks to enter the Hall of Fame. So if you think that is stupid and a terrible idea, send in feedback by all means. But I've run this past a lot of listeners that have written in, and everyone seems really excited about it. I'm really excited about it. Chris, what do you think?
I'm excited about it, but a little nervous because all of my preparation has been to beat Andrew's Demon Zulok. So,
hey,
oof.
The good news is, though, there's only 2 decks in the Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame. So let's go over those, actually. I'm glad you brought that up right now. So the first entry in the Happy Hearthstone Hall of Fame, trumpet noises, please. Dan Patrice's Beastmaster Hunter deck. So this is old listeners of the show will remember, because this first deck was first played in October 24th, 2013, in our very first deck battle episode. I brought on like a Warlock Swarm deck, just a bunch of tokens and minions, and Dan beat me out. It was retired in March the next year, so that was 5 months later, and it won 4 times. So it just barely made the cutoff. It's in the Hall of Fame. And then the next one, trumpet please. Andrew Brown's Warlock Demon Zoo deck. First played June 5th of 2015, retired today, or by the time this episode comes out, like March 10th, March 11th, sometime around then, for a reign of 9 months and total wins, it's either going to be 7 or 8, depending on how it goes today.
It'll be 7.
Which is crazy. Oh, come on. And then I did want to bring up 3 decks that were close that I kind of remembered as really good decks. Redbeard's Barbarian Warrior, Scott's Survival Paladin, and Dan's Mech Mage deck all had 2 wins. So they got halfway there.
Was Barbarian Warrior, did that happen to be a pirate-themed deck?
No, there wasn't actually pirate synergy back then, because this is the deck that beat the Beastmaster deck. It was all basically charge minions and weapons. And basically trying to close out the game by like turn 6 or 7 is a really good deck at the time.
Very cool.
Yeah. That was actually, it was interesting going back and looking through all the decks, because I forgot that was the episode Dan and Scott Lance and Redbeard recorded a whole episode without me. It's the only episode I've never been on, because it's right after my son was born. And so Scott was just like, hey, don't worry. We'll just record an episode. We'll fight each other and we'll just put it up. So they did all the editing, they did everything themselves, and just put it out there. It's really cool.
Hmm.
All right, now the moment of truth, because what this means, all these rule changes, is the throne is empty, so you have to battle a random Hall of Fame deck. So I'm holding actually a dice in my hand, in one of my hands right now. This dice represents Demon Zoo deck. So you have to pick left or right.
Okay. I'm going to go with left.
Ooh, you picked the Warlock Demon Zoo deck. So right. that was a good pick, my friend. Because you said that's what you've been preparing for, right?
Yep.
All right. So we're playing against that. And then, let's see. So actually, I forgot, we haven't even talked about your deck. We spent all this time explaining the rules. We're 15 minutes in. All right. So sorry. All right. So let's talk about the Dreadsteed deck. Tell me about it. What's it all about?
Okay. So this is it's actually a Reno Dreadsteed deck. So basically the idea is control the board, get your Dreadsteeds on there, heal, heal, and heal, and just outlast your opponent and then just take them down with buffed Dreadsteeds.
Okay. So you're just really, so it's a really late win.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of my very favorite wins was against a control warrior, and I ended up having 44 armor against him at the end.
Oh my word!
You're wondering, how does a warlock do that? Sir Finley Murgleton. And Justicar Trueheart. Those are two of the cards in the deck, and they are amazing.
Wow, interesting. 46 armor, dude, that's crazy. So when you drop Sir Finley Murgleton, is that the hero power you want every time, that warrior?
Yeah, either that or... Either that hero power or heal.
Okay, yeah.
And then if I don't get those and I haven't gotten all my Dreadsteeds out, then maybe I'll take mage hero power.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because you can use that just to ping your Dreadsteeds and multiply them if you've got, like, Baron down, right?
Yep.
Okay, very cool. So this is a control deck. Is there any special ways that you're trading, or is it just kind of like most control decks? You just put dudes on the board. Are you playing a lot of removal spells?
A lot of removal spells in there, yeah. So I've got basically every AoE removal tool in the Warlock arsenal, minus Shadow Flame, which I which I don't run, but I may tech in for this battle because
Okay.
Demon Wrath doesn't hurt demons, and I'm facing a demon deck, so.
So, just to be fair, if you put whatever you put in your deck when you win, that's the hard and fast deck list
Oh, is it?
that's going to be
Okay.
used. Yeah, so there's no teching
Well,
in
I mean, you
this.
do have things like Knife Juggler in your deck and stuff, so it still hurts them.
It does. All right. I was just throwing that out there so you knew.
Okay. Well, I'll keep that in there. Just I know we talk about tech choices in the deck list and
Yeah,
things
so
like that.
the alternate choices are more for, hey, you can't afford the legendaries,
Oh,
here's
okay.
non-legendaries you can use, rather than like these are strategic choices to put in there.
Gotcha. Okay.
But so we were talking about cards. What are some of the key cards? Obviously Dreadsteed, right? We
Yep, so
spent a whole
Dreadsteed.
episode talking about
Yeah.
it.
Dreadsteed, and like we talked about last time, Baron Rivendare, which allows you to multiply your Dreadsteeds as you kill them. They just come onto the board and you get more and more. And then along with Baron Rivendare, the things that support that are Mortal Coil, Sacrificial Pact, and then a lot of times I'll even throw in the Hellfire, which damages Baron Rivendare, kills Dreadsteeds, and helps you get them off the board. And then a lot of times, just because of the way the deck works, you need Reno Jackson to heal up. So once you have at least one Dreadsteed in your hand, Reno Jackson is good to go. And
Oh,
so
yeah.
a lot of people thought at first that you couldn't build a deck with any duplicates, but really what it is you can't have any duplicate cards still in your deck. They have to be in your hand.
Yeah.
So at least one copy has to be in your hand or have been played
And when you're
already.
only doing that with a few, it's a much easier to keep track of,
Right. And so the
mentally.
only duplicate in this entire deck is Dreadsteed.
Okay, interesting.
And then I've got Mal'Ganis in here to give you the +2/+2 to all demons. And Lord Jaraxxus, who is a huge finisher, three attack weapon plus summon Dread Infernals, which if you've got the Dreadsteeds on board, you can only do maybe two at the most.
Yeah.
But still, 2 6/6s is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah.
That's scary. Okay. Very cool. So that's the deck. Again, we spent a lot of time talking about Dreadsteed last episode. So if you want to check it out, make sure you go to gamediplomat.com because Chris has also written up a really cool breakdown of the deck and all the cards and why they're there and how to use them, which I think is really useful in a deck like this in particular because so much of it is relying on synergy and using the cards well together. It's not like a zoo deck where, hey, this is a minion on curve. I'll just throw it down. You have to be really kind of, I guess, would you agree, Chris, that you have to be kind of more smarter about how you're using these?
Yeah, I mean, in certain matchups, you're going to want to hold off on throwing the Dreadsteed down. And sometimes, yeah, turn four may not be the right turn because of what's on the board. You may want to throw down a refreshment vendor instead, or you may want to be just doing other things. So just got to pay attention to what the board state is, pay attention to how much damage your opponent has on the board. Because, a Dreadsteed, when it first comes out, doesn't challenge the board hardly at all.
Yeah, it's not very scary. It's not until you start seeing it multiply and all the things it can combo with that people get
Right.
scared.
Yep.
All right, so Chris, any other thoughts before we jump into the duel?
You're about to see something fun and awesome.
All right. I know you can't see me right now, Chris, but I have a very grinchy smile on my face because I just had an idea. I just had an
Okay.
awful idea. I just had a wonderful, awful idea. So I'm changing it up right now. You're not just going to
Oh, on the
battle
fly. Oh,
on the
no.
fly. I know. So ignore everything I already said. No. I'm changing it up. I'm going to change the Hall of Fame deck that I play for each of the three games that we play.
Ooh.
So I'm going to start with the deck that I rolled, or you picked. I was holding a dice. I didn't actually roll it. So I'm going to do Demon Zoo, in game two, I'm going to play Beastmaster Hunter. And then in game three, I'll go back to Demon Zoo. And once there's three Hall of Fame decks, you'll have to play all three.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We're keeping it crazy. But remember, at the end of the day, your deck is going on the throne. It's just a matter of whether you'll be on the throne with one win to your name or whether you'll be starting from scratch next deck battle. But
okay.
I'm doing it, Chris. It's getting crazy over here. I'm excited. So, all right. So we're going to go play that best of three series where Chris battles against the very best decks that have ever been on this show, which you can watch in its entirety. We're going to be live streaming it. That'll be in our show notes on GameDiplomat.com. So we'll be right back. All right, we are back after the very first ever Deck Hall of Fame Gauntlet. How did you feel, Chris? How was it having to fight multiple decks? Was that crazy?
Oh, man, yeah, that was. I had, you know, normally when you play somebody, you don't get to look over the deck list. So, I mean, it's kind of an advantage being able to know what's in the Demon Zoo deck. But then the Beastmaster, I had briefly looked over it. So, man, I was not expecting it to be as aggro as it was.
Yeah, it got crazy. So, just to recap for people, the results of the gauntlet were, for the first time, and really probably the most decisive win ever that I've seen, Chris beat the Demon Warlock Zoo deck. Like, it wasn't even close. It was brutal.
Yeah, I drew so well. Didn't even need to. I never felt pressured to get Reno out. Typically, you'll see me in that deck just tapping to try and draw into him, but I didn't even feel like I needed to.
Yeah, because on turn five, you created four Dreadsteeds. Like,
yep.
There wasn't even anything I could do. You dropped down Baron Rivendare, and then you traded twice, or you traded and then killed
them
somehow?
I traded once, and then I Hellfired.
Oh, yeah. And so it suddenly went from one Dreadsteed on the board, which I was like, eh, no big deal. It's going to take a lot for him to make this into a threat. To before my very next turn, I was facing four of them at Baron Rivendare. It was terrifying. So
yeah,
that was a pretty good start, right?
I was able to show right off the bat how cool it can be, how you can get all of them on the board. And then, you know, a couple turns later, you had a big board, and I'm just like, you drop Sea Giant. I'm like, Sea Giant's dead. I don't need to worry about
yeah,
it.
Dude,
I was kind of wondering what you were thinking when those Dreadsteeds went face instead of trading. And did you have an inkling that that's what was coming?
So I honestly,
Twisting Nether.
I forgot that you played Twisting Nether. And so I was like, he must have Siphon Soul. I was like, that's the only thing I could think of that he would deal with it. And I was like, that's fine. If he Siphon Souls it, the rest of my board's still there. Then all of a sudden, because Twisting Nether has such a cool effect, right? Visual effect.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I just see it happen and I'm just like, oh, he's playing that card. Nobody plays that card. But it was perfect because your side of the board was all Dreadsteeds, so they
yep,
all came
they were
back.
All there. Yeah.
Oh, that was brutal because at that point I was like, I got this. Like, I'm back in the game. I've stabilized. I'm in control again. And then everything gone. And Doomsayer, too. You played him, I think, almost every single game. That was actually a really strong card, too.
Yeah.
Because not only did that instantly kill, or quote-unquote instantly kill my stuff, but, like, some turns you would drop it down when my board was empty, and suddenly it's like, well, you just kind of killed two of my turns, because I don't want to do anything this turn. I just life tap and wait, and then you get to punch face for free.
Yep. I mean, it makes it so that my stuff, my Dreadsteeds, are sleeping that next turn, so I don't get to do anything with them. So I kind of lose a turn, too, but it's just a stall tactic. It's just, you know, let me find some of my other pieces and get you off the board, but I still keep my side of the board intact.
So let's talk about the healing in the deck, because I saw three different heals. I saw Antique Healbot, I saw Refreshment Vendor, and you didn't get to play Reno Jackson, but I know he's in the deck.
Yeah. So I drew Reno Jackson in the Beastmaster deck, but I hadn't drawn any of the Dreadsteeds, so I was never able to play it. I was just hoping and hoping, but didn't happen.
That's unfortunate. So what do you have more healing in there than those three?
Siphon Soul.
Okay, yeah.
So, you know, those four are the oh, and you also saw Sacrificial Pact.
Oh yeah, that's right. I did. Yeah, I forgot. So you have five different heals in there. Which it was surprising. I think it was game three. I think one of the games you were healing up a lot. And it was just hard to it was hard to get through. I did not expect that from your deck either, because I knew you had removal, but I didn't realize the amount of heals you had too.
Yeah, and that's kind of necessary, which sometimes is to my detriment because healing, you know, it's either remove or heal. And if I need to heal, then I'm not removing that turn usually.
Yeah.
And so unless it's Siphon Soul or Sacrificial Pact to my enemy's my opponent's board,
Yeah.
if he has a demon on board. But you know, so sometimes it can hurt the bo my board state rather than help it and just be a delay the inevitable. But
Yeah.
when it all works in sync, it's super awesome, as you saw in that first
Yeah,
game.
that first
That, I
game was
mean,
crazy.
that's actually not typical of how like the speed that the games go. Like a lot of times, you know, I will be checking how many cards you've drawn very frequently versus how many cards I've drawn to make sure that I have more cards in my deck than you have.
Oh,
And a
just to
lot
make
of
sure that if it
times,
gets down to exhaust, that you're ahead.
yeah. And it happens more often than you'd believe, just because, you know, I'm just working to clear your board a lot of the time. I don't care what your health total is until the turns where I'm going to drop Mal'Ganis on the board.
Yeah, and I
Like,
mean, you did get to.
your health total does not matter to me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's kind of interesting. Yeah, it's almost like a mill deck in that way. Where it was funny because in the first game too, you ended up dropping Lord Jiraxus at the end too.
That was just BM.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, it was interesting too because how often does that card save you? Is that more like a health reset more than anything else?
actually, in the priest matchup, that's one of the better win conditions.
Oh.
Because priests steal your Dreadsteeds all the time with Cabal, Shadow Priest, and Shadow Madness, and every steel tool in their arsenal that they use. So, you know, a lot of times I just end up giving them my Dreadsteeds, and so I need the board presence that Jiraxis can provide.
Okay, interesting. I hadn't really thought about it backfiring in that way. So the one thing I really, really loved about this deck, because it was actually really fun to play against, I really loved just how many cards are in here that kind of people like at some point thought were good, but couldn't really find a way to make them work. Like Refreshment Vendor was one of the most talked about cards before Argent Tournament came out, but then it didn't really get played a whole lot. And in this deck, it makes perfect sense. It gives you a body to control and it heals. Like it seems like a perfect fit for it.
Yeah. I mean, it gives a pretty good body too. A 3/5, that's, you
Yeah.
know, that's the same stats as Elise Starseeker.
Yeah.
And she's turned out to be a pretty good card to have in a deck.
Yeah. So that was just something I really appreciate. And stuff like what Sacrificial Pact, is that the name of the spell? Yeah,
Yep,
like
the zero mana.
there's a lot of these really niche cards that I kind of always wanted to be good and to work well, and in this deck it seems like they've found like a home that really makes them shine.
Yeah, and with Sacrificial Pact specifically, I've had a couple of games where I've been able to bait out my opponent's Jiraxis and then kill it the next turn, and I win the game. So, you know, there's all kinds of interesting win conditions in the deck.
That is super fun. So to talk about the other two matches too that we played, so the Beastmaster Hunter, which I can't lie, Chris, I was actually really happy to see win, because I've mentioned this on the stream. It felt like we're bringing like the retired Rocky back for like one more fight, right? Oh, he's still got it. It's still got it. It was really aggressive. Is that kind of the most trouble that you run into when you're facing decks, is just really aggressive decks?
It can be in some, it depends on how I draw in those matchups, because if I were to have had a Dreadsteed in my hand and with Reno, you know, you would have gotten me down to 3 health, and then all of a sudden, boom, I'm right back at 30.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's such a punch in the gut to aggro decks, where, because they've expended most of their resources by that point.
Yeah. Yeah, they've made a lot of inefficient choices just to get damage on you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, interesting. So if it's not full aggro decks, what is kind of the bane of your deck? What's the hardest things to go up against?
I'd say more like mid-range decks, where they're able to have a strong opening and then just keep punching that through to the mid game.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have sticky minions that I can't keep off the board, they're able to keep pushing damage, and even after I reno, they're able to just come right back. So that's one of the biggest struggles with it.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then I guess the other is, this is the same with the traditional reno lock that we see on the ladder a lot, is just consistency. When you have that many cards, it's hard to have a consistent game. The one thing I can say is, with so many different cards, your games are going to be very different from each other, and not in a bad way. You know, it lets you be so flexible, but at the same time, it can also be harmful, because you're hoping for a specific answer that, you know, is in your deck, and there's no double of it to give you more chances to draw it.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'd say that your deck is almost your own worst enemy, but it's also just a super fun deck to play.
Yeah.
And in the right meta, can be really good. Like, I will start my month off every season with this deck, because it does really well against the aggressive kind of decks that people like to start off with, to try and get up the ranks really fast.
Oh yeah, that makes total sense. That's kind of clever. Okay, interesting. So using it at certain time of months when the meta is different.
Yeah, it's smart. Kind of a counter meta kind of play.
Okay, and then, so what was the big difference the second time? Because the third match, you played against Demon Zoo again,
mm-hmm.
But you lost that time. What was the big difference that kind of, because the first game was so dominant?
Oh, I think I should not have popped the void caller when I did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that brought down.
That kind of hurt me a lot.
Yeah, it brought down the 5/7 with charge, which was pretty brutal.
Yeah. I shouldn't have done it, because I didn't have an answer in my hand to it at the time. I didn't have removal.
Yeah.
So, you know, and just the cards I drew, I just didn't draw. I didn't draw the right removals and things like I had in the first game, where I was able to get you off the board.
Yeah, and keep me off the board all the time.
And again, I didn't draw Reno that game, so I couldn't get back in the game.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm really excited to play your deck, because your deck now is sitting on the throne, but because it didn't beat the Gauntlet of Hall of Fame, it's going to still have to beat 3 challengers to make the Hall of Fame. Do you think you can make it?
I think it can make it.
Yeah, I think so,
too. You'll just need to practice a little bit with it.
Dude, I will. So I'm going to practice, and you should spectate those games and maybe give me pointers as I'm going.
Okay, yeah.
Because I have not played a Dreadsteed deck. I'm going to have to craft a lot of stuff. So if any listeners want to send in some packs, donate some money to help buy some packs to make dust, that would be highly appreciated, because I'm going to have to spend a lot of money this time around to get this going. But I am super excited to play this deck. Like I mentioned on the last episode, I've always wanted to play this deck, because I thought it was kind of fun. And just playing against it today, man, it looks really fun.
It is. It's a blast to play with, and I hope that the people who see it kind of get a kick out of it, even if they lose, just kind of like, wow, that was crazy.
Yeah.
It's just not something you see on the ladder very often.
Yeah, not at all. All right, so we actually don't have the next deck battle lined up yet. I have a couple emails I need to go through and try and answer, but if you're interested in coming on the show and doing a deck battle episode or doing a guide, if you want to kind of jump on like Chris did and bring your own deck, if you want to fight for the throne, send me an email, ajosh@outlook.com. All the contact info will be at the end as well. But I'm going to start booking those hosts in the next couple weeks. So do that. All right, let's jump into the community section. So we didn't get a question again. At this point, Chris, I want your opinion. I'm thinking we should just remove the question because nobody ever sends in questions.
Well, that you are the creator of the podcast. I think you can make the rules, as we saw you did tonight.
That's true.
You created my guy.
I kept you on your toes, Chris. I made it more exciting. More.
You did.
I'm super excited for this format. I love the idea of these Hall of Fame decks, and they're coming back, and then every now and then, like, Dad's deck resurrected from 3 years ago gets to fight one more game. Like, oh man, that's so fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
But all right, so I just removed question from the show. If you have questions, you can always send it in, and I'll add it back in, but this will stop us every week from saying there are no questions. But we did get an iTunes review. So Christopher, wait, is this you?
That's me, yeah.
I love it. I didn't notice that until right now. As I was reading Christopher Ev, I was like, wait a second, this is a Chris Ev I'm talking to. So do you want to read your review out loud then?
Sure. We can get it right in the voice that it's written in.
Yeah.
Josh is a very enthusiastic, positive host. He makes each episode fun and reminds us what Hearthstone was originally created for. Fun. If your main goal is to have fun when you play Hearthstone, this is the podcast for you. And as an added bonus, you'll learn a few things as you listen as well.
Aw, thanks, buddy. I'm proud of you for not dropping a little, and that Chris guy is pretty cool, too. Whoa, check out that Dreadsteed deck. Cool. So we also got a donation this week.
Awesome.
Yeah, which was really cool. So Corey wrote in, his handle is Gainsdolph. He sent in $20, actually. Or $10. Oh. $20. I forget. He sent in $10 right now, and he said he's going to send $10 later for when the next set comes out, because he wanted us to buy those cards as well. So
oh,
$10
cool.
right now. He sent in a note. I'm going to read it out. I said, recently started listening to the Happy Hour Stone over the last week. So he's a really new listener, which is awesome. And he says, I'm loving it. I was searching for arena help, and iTunes search led me to that episode, and it helped me go from averaging 1 to 2 wins to averaging 3 to 4, which
great.
Is awesome. Yeah, doubling. Yeah. He says, still work to be done getting to that consistent 7 wins. Which
I'm still working on that myself.
Me too, dude. It's been getting harder. And actually, so side note, Arkivs, who did the arena episode a while back, he was talking with me about coming on and doing another one real soon, which I'm super excited. So I'm going to try and book that in the next set that I schedule. Because Hearthstone or the arena has gotten really hard lately. There's so much emphasis on drafting the right cards. You really have to be really smart with the way you draft. So I'm really excited to have him on and kind of do another guide. And hopefully, Corey, that'll help you out too. But Corey, I'll just finish reading his note. He says, since then, I've been bouncing around listening to the battle episodes. Can't blame you, though. They're super fun. But he's currently listening to episode 50. Very impressive predicting the Inspire mechanic and the move to a standard rotation there. Yeah, we did a predictions portion on that podcast. That was the podcast where we had like 6 people on, I think. It was a pretty crazy episode.
I don't think I've listened to that one. I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, you should. Episode 50 is really fun. It was really long. I think I made several people sing. It was just a really fun episode. But I can't remember who predicted the Inspire mechanic. It might have been Scott Lance. I just default to Scott Lance because he's so smart. But someone did it on there. He says, anyways, really enjoying the show. Thanks for everything. Going to kick you an Amazon payment for PAX. Hopefully you have better luck with Legends than I have. I got a Golden Gruul in my first pack ever, but dusted it to fund Secret Paladin and have gotten zilch since. Hopefully the curse doesn't last as long as others seem to. And hey, this show, I don't know if it's just Jay Crawford who sends in the packs, but this show has gotten very lucky on Legendaries lately. And hopefully we will actually with this pack. So I'm going to be opening this pack next week when we do the Dust Bowl, or next episode, with we'll combine Jake's and Corey's packs together. But I wanted to read out Corey's note because it was really nice. And he actually gave me the thumbs up on the Hall of Fame idea. I kind of ran it by him, and he had the idea to kind of push it to more wins. Because originally I was thinking just 3 wins total, mm-hmm. but he wanted it higher. So that's why we're doing the you have to win to get in the throne, and then you have to defend 3, so 4 total. Yeah, he's also been playing the Mill Rogue deck that was featured on the show recently. There's been a lot of really fun decks on the show lately. This Dreadsteed deck, the Mill Rogue, it's a lot of fun stuff to play. Those new deck slots cannot come soon enough.
Yeah.
All right, so let's jump to the card of the week. You ready to sing us a sweet intro song?
I'm ready.
All right, hit
Okay, here
us
it
with it.
goes. It's a card, it's a card, it's card of the week. It's the card, it's card, it's the card of the week. It's the card, it's card, it's card of the week. It's the card of the week.
Yeah, I like it. Festive. All right, so what is the card of the week, Chris?
It is the Anubiseth Sentinel from the League of Explorers expansion, and it is a 5-mana 4/4 with death rattle. Give a random friendly minion +3/+3. And this guy was the sleeper success, the sleeper hit of my best arena run ever. I won 9 games, and a lot of them came down to clutch plays from this guy.
9 games.
Yeah,
Congrats,
that's that
dude.
was my yeah, it's my best arena run ever. I'm still averaging probably around 4 to 5 wins
Wow.
per run. But yeah, this time I did a rogue run and had this guy in it. And just that buff that he gives, so good, can just really swing a game. I wouldn't say this is necessarily a great constructed card, but in arena, a 3/3 buff is huge. And it can either make your opponent trade awkwardly to get your other minions off the board first before killing this so that it doesn't give its death rattle to somebody. Or else, they just have to deal with this buffed minion after they kill this guy. Or, or waste use their silence on it if they have that or whatever. But it's a good card in arena. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, it's really good there where decks don't have as much AoE removal, which is kind of what hurts it in constructed because it's a lot easier to just be like, well, there's nothing to land on, so I just disappear. But arena a lot of time devolves into big groups of minions just punching back and forth and fighting each other where there's always going to be something for this effect to land on.
Yeah.
Yeah, this card is really good. Yeah, well, I'm really glad it carried you that far, dude. That's awesome.
Yeah, super cool. I just wanted to read the flavor text for it, which because I think
Oh,
it's pretty
yeah.
fun. It says he's actually a 1/1 who picked up the hammer from the last guy. So kind of fitting along with his death rattle. It's just, he picked it, he picked up the 3/3 hammer from the last guy and just passing it on.
That's awesome. I like that idea. It's kind of, do you like that? Because it's like the dread steed. It's like
Yeah,
just
it's kind of like that card idea that I had last week,
Yeah.
where I just pass this buff along forever.
That's really cool.
Just to be clear, this card does not pass its buff once.
But
You just get one death rattle from
yeah,
it.
but hey, one death rattle is good because that gives you 7/7 worth of stats for 5. And if
Yep.
they blow their silence on it, which is a huge premium in arena where you don't have a lot of silence in your deck, it's still a 4/4 for 5, which isn't bad at all.
Right. And then, they won't have their silence for your big taunt minion that you drop the next turn.
Yeah. Or your dread steed that you drop in arena and can't
Just to
combo.
be clear, don't take the dread steed in arena. It's not a good
It's good in this deck, not in arena.
idea.
For that, you have Anubiseth Sentinel. All right, so that's going to do it for the show. We're going to have full show notes along with the full deck list for the Dreadsteed deck, which will be the current defending champion deck on the show, or the defending deck on Happy Hearthstone. All that's going to be on GameDiplomat.com. You can also watch the live stream of us fighting and get to see kind of the old classic Beastmaster Hunter deck back in action. It's really fun. Just swing by there, click on Hearthstone at the top, you'll find it. As always, though, we'd love to see know what you thought of the show and what you'd like to see added in future episodes. And also, if you want to be on the show, if you have an idea for a guide episode, which is the non-deck battle episodes we do, in particular, we always need hosts for those. Please send in your ideas. And then if you want to do a deck battle episode, chime in, let us know what deck you want to do, and we'll sort something out. You can always contact us on Google Plus in the Happy Hearthstone group, on Twitter, I'm at jaugustine, or you can email me, ajosh@outlook.com, or hey, just leave a comment on the blog, gamediplomat.com. And while you're there, if you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting us. You can find more info at gamediplomat.com/donate. Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Chris Manning or on my photography portfolio 500px.com/Chris Manning 1.
Awesome. So Chris, thanks for coming on the show and being a part of Happy Hearthstone history, the first ever Hall of Fame gauntlet, I guess is what we're going to call it.
All right. Well, I'm honored. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really fun, Chris. And thanks again to everyone listening for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. We'll see you next time.